This is Write Your Own Story, Three Keys to Rise and Thrive in Life and Business. I'm your host, Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. Hi, I'm Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. I am the CEO of a company called WeThrive.live, my keynote speaker and an executive coach. And you are tuning in to our Future of Work series here on the podcast. I am passionate about the shift that we are in as a society. And I believe it's the greatest shift that we've been in since the shift from the agricultural age to the industrial age model of work, where the work construct has such a significant impact on society. And in 2020, we experienced a global shutdown, global trauma, which led us into years worth of reflection on what success really is and what we want our lives to be. And I believe that we're still in this bit of chaotic shift, trying to decide what the right answer is. And what I'm seeing is a much needed and necessary shift to where our sense of worth and our sense of value doesn't come from our achievements and our work title, but comes from us knowing us. And I believe that is the shift that we have needed for some time, because the way that we were working was leading us straight to an epidemic of burnout. And while this time of chaotic shift is full of uncertainty and many leaders trying to figure out what is the answer, I wholeheartedly believe that the future belongs to those leaders who are willing to be creatives, who are willing to create the future of work. And I want to be a part of that effort. And so this series is dedicated to interviewing people and asking them, what do you think the future of work could and should be? What problems should we solve? What ideas should we consider? And by doing this series, it will lead us into our own sense of reflection as leaders and as employees. And what do we want? How do we want work to feel? And as we make this shift, I believe as we change the work, we can change the world into a society that honors each of our uniqueness and honors the value that we bring into an organization. So if we can change the work, we can change the world. Because, you know, making money just ought to feel better. So I'm glad you're here. Hey, this is Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian, and welcome to another episode in our Future of Work series. You know, as one of our guests in this series explained, Kristen Smith, I believe it was, so well, is that we are in the future of work. So this shift started in 2019. When the World Health Organization put the report on burnout out in 2019, there was an uproar, followed by 2020, where we had a global shutdown. And so everybody was forced into this time of reflection. And at the same time of reflection, we're in trauma, we're in fear, and all of that caused us to look inward and ask ourselves, is this really it? Is this really all there is? And so since 2019 to now 2023, once we came out of complete quarantine and lockdown and started moving more towards what was quote unquote our normal work operations, now we're in this debate on whether we should go back to work or whether we should work from home. And that's really just a symptom of the shift and the problems that we have. I know why the debate is so strong, because leaders and managers need to get back to profitable business growth. And what they know from their patterns of the past is we were better able to grow when we were all in the office. Let's just go back to the way it was. And employees are now saying, no, I'm not going to do that, because we've proven that we can do work from anywhere. And so that's the debate, but it's deeper than that. The problem is that the definition of success and the root cause of burnout are the same. Prove yourself and work harder, take care of the business and it will take care of you, is what we were told success is. And now the reports on burnout are saying, oh, look, Burnout, root cause, prove yourself, work harder, take care of everything else before you take care of yourself. And so there's the root of the problem. And when we think about what happens in a major shift and change, is that everybody's grasping for what is the answer so I can go do that thing to be reliably growing my organization. Well, the problem is there's no model for this. There's no, hey, this works. We are literally creating what the future holds for us at work. And so the innovators, the creators, the people that are willing to look at the future and look at the needs of the customer, and instead of improving something that already was, the leaders who will win in this space of uncertainty and this huge disruption that we're in are the ones that are willing to go to the whiteboard and create something from scratch. The people that are willing to say, okay, the ways of the past aren't working, let's create the future. And unfortunately, what's been promoted in the past are those that could improve what already was. So leaders in high places aren't always the best innovators and the people that are willing to go to the whiteboard and create something new. So I think this is a huge opportunity for the types of leaders that care about people first and want to create something new from their imagination, to reinvent, to reimagine what could be in a human-to-human business exchange. This is your time. This is your time to either rise up in your current organization or go start something on your own. And the creators, the innovators that have a good support system around them to be able to get past the uncertainty and to believe in themselves. You may need a coach. You may need a small group of people that are believing in this for each other, but you're probably going to need some sort of support because it's really hard to be a creator and an innovator in isolation, because the voices in your head, when you're trying to move against the way society has been and create something new, the voices in your head are going to start telling you you're crazy. And why are you bothering? And this is too hard. And you need people that are going to hold up the mirror and help you see you. As a coach, I love to do that. If you want to talk about how I might be able to help you, it's my favorite thing in the world to do. And I would love to support you. But I don't care if it's me or somebody else, a group of people who have gotten together and said, let's do this. But you need support. You need community. That's the number one thing I would say for the future of work, is the creators of the world rise up and find a community, find some support. The second thing that I'm seeing as I'm observing this precipice, I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know. I just sometimes use words that I think are right and they're not. So maybe my podcast people will do me a solid, look it up and take this out. You know what I'm trying to say. In this huge shift, this time of great turbulence and change that we're in, creators and innovators, rise up. This is your time. Get a community. Number two, as I'm observing this, the fundamental leadership quality that will be necessary in order to engage people who have been living in fear and frustration and burnout, the kind of leader that we need, they need, is a humble leader. And I've been really digging into the definition of humility and how humility as a leader shows up in comparison to what we've seen in traditional leadership styles. And it's really interesting because I think there are a lot of people who think they know what humility means, but don't know what it looks like in practice. And so I've been playing with some models and some frameworks as I'm writing this next book. And I want to share some thoughts that I have on this with you today. And I would love for you to message me with any thoughts and affirmations or feedbacks or challenge that you have about what I'm about to share with you today as it relates to humility. Because I'm really writing this book from a place of a man in the arena and a woman in the arena of doing the work, being in the middle of the work, not somebody that's seeing it from a place of research, because we've never been here before. I can't Google, how do we live and work in the age of humanity for 2024 and beyond? We haven't lived it yet. And so I believe that in order to create something, I'm doing what I've recommended to you already. I'm going to the whiteboard, the blank whiteboard, and saying, what does the future of work need? What do we need as humans? How can we marry that with what I know is great business practice? And I'm creating frameworks that I'm then testing out with myself and my clients to see what works. So then I can go and teach you. And so when I look at humility as the center, I started looking at what does each side of humility look like? And really what we're talking about from a leadership perspective and a humanity perspective is our identity. When we're talking about the kind of leader that we need for the future, it's, does this leader know themselves? What is their identity? And so that's our ego, really. And is it rooted in great character? Sure, that's one way to look at it. And that's the way a lot of books have been written in the past. But I looked at it from the definition of humility in the center. And if we look at the definition of humility, it's someone that doesn't believe that they're better than others. They know themselves. They believe that they're different than others, but not better. They are a unique puzzle piece, you know, is the metaphor that I often use, but that their piece of the puzzle isn't any more important than someone else's. They just know how they want to fit together with others. That's big. I'm not better than others. I may be different. In fact, I know I'm different, but I'm not better. And when you come at it from that perspective, and you're looking to connect others together to do great work, to serve other unique humans, you're looking at it as helping people put the pieces of the puzzle together, not in a hierarchy, not in the traditional org chart of I'm at the top and you do what I say, I'm going to control how things work. Somebody with humility says, tell me your opinion, tell me your perspective. I need to understand your point of view because I know it's different from mine. I don't think it is. I know it is. And I know that my perspective isn't better. It's just different. And so a humble leader pauses, reflects, observes, listens, gathers information and perspective, and really sees people first. Before they look at the spreadsheets, before they look at the business metrics. If you've been following me for a while, in my first book, I talked about story first, because we're talking about the human story first. So a humble leader is building a company so that humans can serve other humans. They know their customer as a human. If they're making tires, they see their customer as who's going to be using these tires. It's a human-to-human exchange. Not a spreadsheet business first exchange. Now they want to build a viable, profitable, growing business. That's a good leader. That's good business practice, but they're doing it from a humble human first perspective. Okay. All well and good, right? Okay. Well, if we looked at it as this line of what's on one side of humility on the other, I looked at one side of humility as two things. At the far end is indifference. You just don't really care about people. You don't have a concern or sympathy or empathy. You're not seeing the world of business through the lens of humans. And some people might be in this state of indifference because they're so burned out. They're just literally surviving and they're just going through the motions to make it through another day. To me, at this point of the way I'm observing things, this is kind of the far end of, oh my goodness, this is not where we want to be. The next space is insecurity, lack of confidence. So they can't see themselves as not better than others. As we stated in humility, they see themselves as everybody is better than me, or most people are better than me. And I'm unwilling to see myself as a part of that puzzle. I'm waiting for someone that is better than me to show me how to do it, to show me who I am. So indifference says, I don't care who I am and I don't care who others are. Insecurity says, I know that I'm not better than others and I know I'm less than others and I need somebody to tell me who I am. They lack confidence. They're just waiting for somebody to tell them what to do to figure it out. And I do think that the burnout and the challenges that we've been through has taken some great leaders and bumped them down into this place of, I just give up. I don't know the answers. I'm insecure. I'm uncertain. I lack the confidence to go to the whiteboard and build something great. I'm just going to wait for somebody to tell me what to do. Now, on the other side of humility, I'm seeing pride. Pride definition says, I get pleasure from my achievements. And listen, we were raised to prove yourself, work harder, and achieve as a definition of success. So I think this is the dangerous area where there are some people that are in this prideful state who think that they're humble. They think they're humble because they care about people. They like people, maybe even. They want to be good to people, but their identity is really rooted in their achievements. So if someone was to strip away their title or strip away their awards, strip away their status symbols of who they are, they'd really struggle in knowing who they are without them. Because remember, somebody that's humble says, I'm not better than anybody else. Take it all away. I can still show up and serve. I'll start something else. Take away my title. Great. I still know who I am enough to show up tomorrow and serve with my gifts and talents. Without the title, without the glass awards, without the big house, without the great car. They just know who they are without those things. And so pride is, I take great pleasure and satisfaction in my own achievements. So my identity is connected to my achievements. Again, this is what we were told success is, achieve, achieve, achieve. And so a lot of people who have achieved still don't know who they are. That one's pretty deep. We'll need a whole different episode and probably lots of chapters dedicated to that. I count myself in this place of, I left a 20-year career at Franklin Covey, and I could tell you my achievements. I got a box of glass awards still on the other side of this wall underneath my stairs that told me I was great. But when I decided to step out of that and start my own thing, I had to dig into who am I and what are the gifts and talents that allowed me to do those great things to achieve was step one. But step two was, what did service look like from a business perspective, not achievement? So not just saying I have this goal, this revenue goal that I have to hit, and when I hit it, my company's going to give me a glass award, and I'm going to feel good about myself, and I'm going to get this big paycheck, and it's going to be great. Humility says, who am I serving that pays me to solve their problems or create opportunities for them? Humility says, who's the human that I'm serving with my gifts and talents? Why does the work that I do matter? So for me, I know that my gifts and talents are meant to inspire others to find their own sense of identity and then fuel their growth for their business, knowing themselves and showing up to serve. Like, that's what I do. And when I do that, people write me checks for coaching and keynotes. So if I saw that my identity was based on the number of keynotes and the number of dollars that I bring in, that's my identity as an achievement, and I got to hit a certain dollar amount to know I'm good, that's pride. So my business is about how many people can I get to see themselves rise up to this place of authenticity and knowing themselves so that they can show up to work and serve and do great things. And I'm looking for how many people that I can help make that shift. One way I know that it's happening is in my Rise and Thrive community of over 30 women who have gone through this experience with me. I look for the comments that I get back after a keynote speech for people that said, here's the way that your message touched me. And here's the things that I'm seeing differently now to go do things differently. I'm looking for the evidence. I showed up to serve a human in a way that their lives can be connected and be better. Do I get rewarded financially for doing that? You darn right I do. I'm not saying that profitability and growth financially is bad. No. I just am not seeing that as my identity, that I'm less worthy because my revenue is a certain amount and I'm not going to be worthy until it is a certain amount. My revenue is growing every year because I'm showing up to serve. I know it's messy, especially on a podcast. We got no visuals. We got no whiteboard to talk about it. But I really just want to put this out in a podcast so you can respond to it and tell me how it's resonating and what questions you have, because this is the book that I'm writing right now. After pride is arrogance. Arrogance is when that sense of pride has grown to be overbearing, rooted in superiority. Now I'm at a place where I believe that I am, in fact, superior to you, probably because of my achievements. And so I'm not listening to you. I'm not connecting with you. I'm not seeing you human to human. They're saying, have you seen the box of glass awards that I have? Have you seen my achievements? How dare you question me? How dare you not just do what I say? Because I clearly am superior to you. Arrogance. And then the next step is narcissism, which is not only am I better than you and I believe that I'm superior, I'm admiring myself for it. And again, I don't really care what you think about me because I love me some me. And I am quite positive that all of my achievements and all of who I am is superior to any over and above what is good character, what is legal. All of those other constructs don't matter because, listen, I'm above it all. And we've got some people, evil people in high places that believe they're above it all. End times are coming and they're going to find out different because, you know, Jesus wins that battle. But when I look at this, I don't know if it's I don't know what I'm calling it yet. Literally, you're just getting like Rebecca's journal notes in a podcast. But I'm seeing this line that goes from indifference to insecurity, humility in the middle, then pride, then arrogance, then narcissism. And I believe the challenge is going to be for the leaders who have been in that place of pride, maybe even arrogance, that the world of work, most employees are no longer interested in pride or arrogance. Everyone is trying to take their freedom back. People are trying to take their own lives back. They don't want to prove themselves and work harder. And so the humble who are willing to assemble those people into this beautiful puzzle where everybody's uniqueness matters, and how can we put unique gifts and talents together to go serve others in business in a way that's profitable, and we can grow and serve and make money for ourselves and the business and do great things with our clients. Will the humble leaders please call me? Let's band together. I want to help you. I want to help you go to the whiteboard and build a different model for work. And I think the challenge is going to be that the humble don't want to be a part of the shit show that has been business of the past. They're not in it for that. But I know that there's this beautiful marriage of the humble leader meets profitable growth. And I've got some really good examples of how that's working for some people and how to take really good business practice and run it humbly. It's entirely possible. And so if that's you, let's chat. I'd love to buy you coffee or jump on a Zoom and let's talk about your experience as a humble leader and things that I can glean from it and teach others. What do you think? How does that sit with you? How does that feel? Were there people and examples that came to mind when you heard me describe those various types of leaders? I hope so. Message me with that. Say, hey, I want to talk to you about this. I've got an example that I think fits in the insecurity place, or an example that fits into arrogance, or I don't know, maybe even indifference. Somebody that's just been so beat up by the shit show that they're just surviving. But if you've got some thoughts on this and you want to have conversation about it, I'm your girl. All right. That's all for today, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like me to come in and keynote for your company to talk about some of these growth models and the age of humanity and all that I'm seeing that's turning out pretty great for the people that I'm working with, I'd love to share it on a stage with thousands of people to listen and interact. So let me know. I'm your girl. If you want to talk about authenticity, I'm your girl. If you want to talk about thriving, I'm your girl. Let's book up my keynote calendar for the year, shall we? All right, y'all. Love you, mean it. Thanks for listening to this episode. I would love it if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. And then you can go to RebeccaFleetwoodHessian.com and join the Badass Women's Council. And if you really want to take a deeper dive, join the movement of 1,000 thriving women. There's amazing Thrive tools there for you today. Love you, mean it. I'm not coming down. Hey y'all, fun fact, if you like the music for the podcast, that is actually my son, Cameron Hessian. And I would love it if you would go to Spotify and iTunes and follow him and download some of his other music. My personal favorite is TV Land.